Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Blending Ain't Easy, a podcast created with the intention of helping the blended family to thrive. Of course, this podcast was created with the blended family in mind, but it is not exclusive for the blended family. I believe that some of these topics and some of these messages and some of this information can be beneficial to the blended family, the person or the people who aspire to have a family, the traditional family, the single person with children, whatever. I honestly believe that while I created the podcast for the blended family, it is definitely, it's for everybody. So I am your host, Jaleesa Alvarez, and I am both the product of a blended family from my childhood, as well as the active participant in my own blended family today. I am a wife, a stepmother, a wonderful city employee, a sister, a daughter, a caregiver, and a friend to many. Welcome again to the Blending Ain't Easy podcast. Before we get into today's topic, I want to address a few things. First one, if this is your first time listening to me, if this is the first episode, you late, you showed up late, but it's cool because you can go backwards. You can go back and you can listen to all my previous episodes and you can learn about me. You can learn about my blended family. You can cry a little bit. You can laugh a lot and you can be a part of my village and I can be a part of your village. Please, I implore you to go backwards. Listen to the previous episodes and I promise you, you will not be upset. You will enjoy it. You will enjoy something from it. The other thing is I want to apologize. I have been getting some feedback from my listeners and my friends and my family and of course my favorite person in the world, which is my husband. And they told me I'm not consistent. And you know what? I believe them because that has been one of the hardest parts about like most journeys for me is consistency. So in all areas of my life, I try to hold myself accountable. So I'm going to do the same thing in this podcasting space and I'm going to hold myself accountable. And I ask you to hold me accountable as well. I am not perfect. I am a busy woman. I just told you a handful of my roles, but I promise you I got a bunch of other liberty tidbits that I do in the mix that kind of keep me busy, but not so busy that this platform and my safe space of Blending Ain't Easy shouldn't get time for me. So I would like for you to hold me accountable as I hold myself accountable to creating episodes every other week. If you know me and you know my husband, you know he drop an episode every Wednesday for his Come On Man podcast, and he drops a solo dolo every Friday. I'm not that good yet, but every 2 weeks seems like a good thing for me. So I hope that I can stay consistent with that, and I pray that you can hold me accountable, and I'm definitely going to hold myself accountable. And the third thing, I thank you. If you listen to episode 5, I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I thank you for getting through that with me. I know that there was a lot going on. It was an emotional roller coaster for me, for sure. And I thank you for going through that journey with me. If you did not listen to episode 5, how do they say? Spoiler alert, you're going to cry, or at least I'm going to cry. And I hope you empathize enough with me to cry with me, not for me, because it's a sensitive topic, but it's a topic that I wanted to get out there as a teaching topic. And I don't need no pity party or anything like that. I just need love and support. And so if you listen to it, thank you. I appreciate you. If you cried, I'm sorry I made you cry, but I promise it was all in love. And if you haven't listened to it, please take the opportunity to go back and listen to it and, you know, give me your ears. Now let's get into it. Today's topic is the 5-letter word that can either build up or tear down any relationship. That is trust. T-R-U-S-T. trust. Trust is defined as resilience on the integrity, strength, ability, and surety of a person or a thing. A couple synonyms for trust is confidence, faith, belief, and certainty. Trust issues can exist in all relationships, including your friendships, your work relationships, your business partnerships, but one of the, even like entities that you operate with, right? Even your job, like not just your boss and your supervision or your directors or your coworkers, but also like the entity that you work for. You could have trust issues in all of these areas. But one of the main areas, and of course the area we're going to focus on where trust rears its ugly head, is going to be in families and marriages. Trust being one of the biggest reasons for a divorce and the dissolution of the family unit, trust issues can exist in both the traditional family as well as the blended family. Of course, we're going to talk about both sides of it. It's also not exclusive. Keep that part in mind as we dive into this. Trust issues are not exclusive to only adults. There are moments where your children or your bonus children or whatever, they don't trust their parent for some reason or another. And as unpopular as it may seem, there are times where a parent cannot trust a child or a step-parent cannot trust a stepchild. You know, all of these areas, there are times when trust issues can rear their ugly heads in ways that we don't even think are common, but I promise they are. Let's discuss a few reasons why trust issues can exist, why your trust can be lost, and a few resources that I can share, or at least some activities. Let's call them activities that I want to share that have helped me in terms of building or increasing my trust in other people, as well as my trust within myself. So since we're talking about it, first, you have to trust yourself. A lot of my issues with trust, they stemmed from me. Like, I didn't trust me. I didn't trust my own actions. I didn't trust my own movements. And I know that's a rarity, right? Most people, the minute they talk about trust, they like, yes, I don't trust my baby daddy. I don't trust my baby mama. I don't trust my husband. I don't trust these people because I've been hurt. So in my case, trying not to get too personal, but a little personal, I try to be transparent. My biggest trust issue, it came about after my first marriage, in which there was infidelity on both sides. I'm not perfect, so let's get into it, right? Of course, I was cheated on, but I was also a cheater. And I'm not making any excuses for it. I was a cheater, and there's no reason why I was a cheater, right? I wasn't a physical cheater for the most part. I was literally just an emotional cheater. And when I was younger, I used to make the excuse that it was because I needed more. I needed more time. I needed more attention. I needed more energy. It's true, but it's not good. There's no justification for why I did what I did. And so as I moved out of that marriage and moved into different relationships after that, all the way up until like 2 years before I met my husband, I would be in these situations in which I was dealing with a person and I wouldn't get so close with them because in my mind, karma was going to come back on me. And because I had done wrong in my marriage prior to this, I was going to get hurt. And it might sound crazy to most people, but I literally walked on eggshells with any and everybody because my biggest worry was somebody going to get me the way I got my ex. I hurt my ex. I was hurt, but I was also hurting my ex as well. And that was so unhealthy. And then when we decided, this ain't working, let's go our separate ways. And I went on and I started dating other people. I was so nervous, like, this person's going to hurt me. So I'm going to keep, I'm going to keep them at an arm length. I'm going to keep them far enough away that they can't hurt me. And through therapy, a lot of therapy and a lot of God talks and just like working through things for myself, I realized that it wasn't that I didn't trust other people. At first, that's what I thought. Like, I thought, I don't trust nobody. I'm never going to get into a relationship because I don't trust anybody. But through a lot of self-analyzing, I was like, you know who I don't trust? I don't trust Jaleesa. I don't trust Jaleesa to get into a relationship and be solid enough to not only sustain the relationship or the marriage, but also to be trustworthy, you know, so that the person I get with can trust me. And I'm so nervous that I won't be trustworthy and I won't be a good person and I won't be faithful that I just keep people at a distance. And I was meeting decent people and I was, you know, a partially decent person. And so what I did in that time period was, and I guess I'm jumping a little ahead by giving some resolutions, but I want to kind of tie this in and just kind of close it out for a second and close it out and then jump into the other things, but about the family unit. But for me, I had to start learning how to retrust Jaleesa. And that was hard. That was hard because I didn't trust myself in so many areas, right? I didn't trust me with my money. I didn't trust me with my heart. I didn't trust me with my body. I was so used to like going and doing that I didn't get love on me enough to treat me well. And so in those moments, I was out here treating myself so bad that it wasn't healthy. And so I was willing to deal with unhealthy situations just because they were felt normal. And that was pretty sad, right? So then once I realized these things and I started doing some self-work, right? I started doing some self-work and I started praying more. I started talking to God more. I started like taking better care of myself, taking better care of my body. And the one thing I did was I decided to abstain from intercourse. And I also decided to abstain from relationships that I knew weren't going to go anywhere. And when I did that, it helped. It hurt hard, actually. I lost some connections, if you will, like friendships and family members and stuff that I thought like were going to be with me for the rest of my life. I lost relationship with people who I thought I was supposed to be with, but it was perfect, right? Like right on time. I had prayed and I said, God, if it ain't for me, take it away. And when I tell you people start dropping like flies. It was crazy to see people who I had known for years just kind of fall off. And no harm, no foul, no bad energy, none of that. They just dropped off like flies. And it was okay. And in that process, I started to learn how to love on me. I started to enjoy me, right? I didn't realize before I started taking that time to take care of me better, I didn't realize that I was, as my best friend calls it, I was a serial dater. He called me, what did he say I was? Serial monogamous. I was a serial monogamist. He said, you are in a constant search of a monogamous relationship. Like, you don't just want to date. You don't just want to talk to somebody. Like, you go from, oh, I met such and such. We went on a date. We like each other. We in a relationship. We about to get married. Like, it was that fast. Well, not fast, but it was definitely, there was no in the middle. There was no like, hey, we dating for X amount of years or whatever. It was like, no, we go together. or at least in my crazy mind, we was together. And my friend was like, you are a serial monogamist. And like, at some point you just got to be by yourself. And I didn't realize it because I had got married at 18 years old. I didn't know what it meant to just be by myself. So in that process, in that little period of time, I relocated. I moved down here. If you don't know, I live in Houston, Texas. I moved down here to Houston, Texas. And I got my own apartment. And it was so crazy because people were like, why is she so excited about this little apartment? You know, it wasn't all that. It was really not all that. I ain't gonna talk about it, but it was not all that. But it was mine. And it was good because I didn't even know that I had never lived by myself. I had maybe lived by myself for like 4 months when I was 18. And I was married, but because I was married to military, I lived by myself for 4 months. And in those 4 months, I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. I want to be with my spouse. You know what I mean? So I jumped ship and left that apartment. So technically, I had never really lived by myself. I had always lived with a partner, lived with my parents, lived with a sibling, whatever. I had never lived by myself until that time. And so I got my own apartment, and I was so excited about this little apartment. This little rinky-dink apartment was everything for me, honey. I remember when my parents came to visit, and my stepdad was like, it feels like a hotel. And I was like, hey, stop hating, okay? I like my little hotel apartment. But it was mine, and I was happy. And just so that like, started the, like, cycle of, like, loving Jaleesa. So I got the little apartment. It was just for me. I didn't have anybody over there. It was cute. It was good. They had a little man at the gate, and he wouldn't let nobody in who wasn't on the list. So, baby, I felt exclusive. I loved that little apartment, and I would have Tuesday wing nights. So on Tuesdays, I'd take myself out to eat to go get some wings. And it was cute because I had always been, like, such a homemaker, right? I had always been cooking and cleaning and taking care of everybody else that I had never just had moments where I could just say, you know what, today I just want to eat a bowl of cereal for dinner and do that. Or I just want to have an egg and a sausage for dinner and do that. And so I started to, like, just indulge in this independence. And it was like, as I was doing that, I was loving it. Okay, when I tell you I was loving it, I was really loving it. But then I started praying and I started fasting, and I don't know what brought it about, because I was really not looking for a mate, but something came about that made me say, I want to start praying for whoever I'm going to be with in the future. I'm going to pray for my future husband. I don't know him, but I'm going to pray for my future husband. So that's what I started doing. And I got involved in this challenge, this 45-day challenge called Praying for Your Future Spouse. And it involved fasting and praying. And so I did that for 45 days. And out of nowhere, my little hyper-independence just ended. I met this man, and we went from 0 to 100 real quick because I met my husband. And it was so crazy because I wrote out this thing, and I know I'm kind of off topic, but I promise I'm going to come back. I wrote out this thing, and if you want to hear about it, check my YouTube channel, Blissfully Locked. Everything is Blissfully Locked. So I'll put the links on the podcast or whatever, but I wrote out what they call a crazy faith prayer. I wrote out my crazy faith prayer, and I said all these things. I had never met this man before yet. So I wrote out all these things on my crazy faith prayer. Like, I want this. I want my job to be like this. I want my income to look like this. I want to have this kind of house. I want to meet this kind of man, and I want this kind of relationship. Bloop, 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 bloop. I wrote all these things out. Maybe like a week later, I met my husband, who wasn't my husband, of course, not then. But we met on a dating app. We met on Bumble. And when we met, it was like, okay, he cool. Of course, because I'm a serial monogamist, I was like, let's talk on the phone. And he was like, let's FaceTime. And I was like, okay. Middle of the workday, I FaceTime him. He was like, oh, she crazy. He said, hey, it's the middle of the day. Why don't we FaceTime at night? And I was like, okay, I just had to make sure you was a real person. And we, you know, Fast forward. We met in person. I mean, like, maybe like a couple weeks later, and he was solid. I liked him instantly, but I was working on myself. So I was like, I cannot get in a relationship with him. I cannot get in a relationship with nobody. Tony said, I'm a serial monogamist. I can't be a serial monogamist. So I was trying to avoid a relationship because I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself to just enjoy this man, to just enjoy whatever God wanted to come from this. I didn't trust myself. So I was like moving and shaking, like, I cannot be with this man because I know what I want. But it was like God was like, this the man. And I kept trying to avoid him, but things kept calling me back to him. Like, everything kept calling me back to him. Like, we would talk and we would have great conversation. And if you know my husband, you know that's crazy because he don't really talk that much. But he talked to me. So we were, like, talking all the time. And I was like, oh, I'm going to come visit. And we would spend time together and we would have these weekends together. And it was just like, oh, I could not get over this man. And then finally, what I couldn't trust the most, you know, it transpired. It popped out. It reared its ugly head. I could not trust me because I'm big on emotions. I started feeling things for him. I started wanting more with him. I started having deep feelings for him. And he responded in a way that I did not like. And I flipped my whole lid. I flipped my top. I was like, what the heck? Why doesn't he care about me the same way I care about him? And I went crazy. And we stopped talking. And I was just like, well, I guess that's it. You know, I guess that's it. And we didn't talk for a little while. And then he came back. He came back. We never really talked about why he came back. But he did. He reached back out to me. And we just started talking like nothing ever happened. But he came to me different when he came back. He came back and he acknowledged my feelings. He acknowledged the fact that he had feelings too, but he just didn't know how to process them because it was just so happy. It was happening so fast and it was just so quick for him. And he just had a lot of stuff going on. And I accepted that. And I was able to find in that friendship, in that relationship, because now it was a relationship, because he came to me differently and he was like, hey, I want to be in a relationship with you. And so when he came to me in that regard, I explained to him, like, hey, I don't really trust myself. I don't trust myself to not fall for you and then think that next step is marriage. Next step is, you know, family, blah, 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 blah. And he was just like, well, let's just try it. Let's just try it and take it slow. And so I say all of that to say, right, I gave y'all this 20-minute spiel, to say that sometimes it takes you finding an accountability buddy. It takes you finding a trust partner to help you to retrust yourself. So it's about analyzing yourself, because a lot of times we think, I don't trust him, I don't trust her, I don't trust them, when in fact you don't trust yourself because you have failed you before. You don't trust yourself. So let's get into some other reasons, some other ways that it can kind of pop up. So some other reasons that trust issues can come about. Of course, the most normal one is infidelity. In a marriage, infidelity is a big issue. And it can have, like I said before, you can have the physical cheater. My ex was the physical cheater. Or you could have the emotional cheater. I was the emotional cheater. People like to argue about which is worse, both of them. Like how Shannon Sharp say, B-O-A-F, both of them. Both of them are bad. Both parts are bad. If you're out here physically cheating on your partner, that's bad, right? Because now you're susceptible yourself and your partner to diseases and viruses and all kind of other issues. And, you know, you're putting your family at risk of adding more people that's not truly a part of the family unit. And then if you're cheating on an emotional level, you're robbing your partner. You're robbing your partner of the ability to fulfill your needs emotionally. And people, a lot of people like to believe that cheating on an emotional level or a physical level only involves another person. Sometimes it involves the internet. Sometimes, you know, it involves a lot of other things. And you have to know what your boundaries are and what your no-nos are in a marriage or in your family unit in order to be able to say, hey, that's cheating to me. I don't like that. I don't feel confident with that. I don't feel comfortable with that. I'm sorry. And you have to kind of discuss that at the beginning. Again, I'm jumping ahead and telling you how to fix it, right? But another one is low self-esteem and low confidence in your own self. I pretty much feel like I already talked about that, because for me, I had low self-esteem and low confidence in my ability to ward off people. I had low self-esteem and low confidence in my ability to be a good person in a relationship. I had low confidence in my ability to just be in a relationship without thinking we get married. And that also falls into those abandonment issues. Y'all know I discussed it before, having the abandonment issues or the issues where, you know, I didn't have my biological father in my life as a child. And so he was kind of absent because of some choices that he made. And that required, I mean, that kind of put me into a position where I always wanted somebody to stick around. And it made it to where I thought that I was supposed to instantly cling to somebody, especially a partner, especially a mate. And I had to learn that, like, everybody's not going to leave you. And then the people who do leave you, they supposed to leave you. Like, I know people don't like to hear that, but they supposed to leave you. There are a lot of people who are supposed to be in your life for the whole life, but there are a lot of other people who are only supposed to be in your life for a reason or a season. You got to recognize those people, and you got to let them do what they got to do. You got to let them do what God wants them to do. Another cause of trust issues is lies. There are so many dishonest moments that people can have, and it just kind of happens. You know, a white lie can easily be, you know, a small lie, pretty little lie, like people say, it can easily turn into a, like a ripple effect, or a tumbleweed, like a tumbleweed. It can become a tumbleweed. You tell one lie, then you got to tell another lie, then some more lies. And before you know it, you got a bunch of lies just rolling around in your family. And that's where we get into those issues where it could be a problem with the parent and the child in the trusting, right? Because I remember, you know, working for Child Protective Services several years ago, about like eight, 9 years ago. I remember working for Child Protective Services. Oh God, that was 10 years ago. And I would remind the parent, the non-custodial parent, because they did not have custody of their kids. I would have to remind the parent, hey, don't tell them I'm going to see you, or I'm going to buy you McDonald's, or I'm going to take you to Dairy Queen, or I'm going to get you some ice cream. Don't tell them those things if you're not going to do it. Just don't tell them. Just kind of surprise them, because if you say it and then maybe something happens, or maybe you can't show up, or maybe your money looking funny, now the child sees you as a liar, right? Now the child sees you as a liar, and that builds up trust issues in the kid, because now the kid be like, people just be saying stuff. They not going to actually do it. Nobody's actually going to give me McDonald's. Nobody's actually going to buy me a toy or bring me ice cream. You know, that starts building trust issues. And so lies beget lies. And then it happens on the vice versa, right? Because we have to talk to, my husband has to talk to his son, my stepson. We have to talk to him all the time about, like, hey, be solid. Whatever you, however you operate over here, operate like that outside of here. Whatever you say here, make sure you say it over there. Make sure you always saying the truth. Make sure you're never telling lies, because you don't ever want to have to go backwards and try to remember what you said. So it's really important that you teach your children to tell the truth, right? Because especially in a blended family, and even in a traditional family, you know, kids will do what they have to do to get what they want. Kids ain't no different from us grown folk. Like, grown people are opportunists, right? And they trying to get what they trying to get. And so are kids. Kids are trying to get what they trying to get. But particularly in a blended family, not just in mine, but in several other people's, because I've had these talks with people before, you'll hear the fact that the child in a blended family has maybe said one thing to one parent and another thing to the other parent, because they trying to see, like, they trying to test your limits. They trying to test your boundaries. So that's a factor, right? Another one is emotional or psychological trauma. That kind of ties right into that confidence, low self-esteem, and the abandonment issues. A lot of times, and again, this is one of those ones that kind of falls on those kids too sometimes. So just be mindful of how you treat your kids. Be mindful of how you operate around your kids so that they won't grow up to be these people who have all these traumas that they never really dealt with and is causing issues in their adult relationships. Some psychological and emotional traumas are just like, you know, fear of failure, fear of not being good enough, fear, you know, just different fears like that, or always being jittery or worried. And that gets me into my last reason, which is a big one for me and a lot of other people, is anxiety. That constant fear, that constant worry that the ball is going to drop, that constant worry that something's going to happen. And, you know, all of these things, they can involve any member of the family, any member of the blended family. The blended family or the traditional family can experience these things, and it can build up trust issues. So let's talk about some restorative actions, okay? Some restoration actions. So, of course, I already told you my first one, which was mine, which was analyzing my issues and myself and seeing, like, can I forgive myself for whatever issues that I have done? In my case, it was, could I forgive myself for being a cheater? Could I forgive myself and hold myself accountable and make a commitment to not doing it again? So one of the things I had to do for me in my singlehood, long before I met my husband, was I had to decide that moving forward, if I was with him, if I was with whatever person I decided to be with, that's who I was going to be with. And if I wasn't getting fulfilled, I was going to voice it first. First and foremost, I was going to voice it. I was going to say, hey, you, I have a need and it's not being met. And I'm going to tell you what that need is, because I can't just jump ship. I have to tell you that I have a need so you can meet it. Because if you don't know that I have a need, how you going to meet it? So it was important to me to kind of set those rules on myself, set those boundaries and consequences to where it was like, hey, if you have I think we really do this in my marriage a lot, because in our marriage, we talk a lot. We have check-ins. I think I said it on another episode. We are big on the check-ins. Like, we check in with each other like, hey, am I meeting your needs? And I know it might be a little bit of a reach for this podcast, but we check in with each other on everything. Like, hey, how are you doing financially? Okay, we talk about that. Let's talk about the money. Let's work together on the money. I know a lot of people don't like to do that, but I am my husband's partner. And he is my partner. And so sometimes his money up, my money down. Sometimes my money up, his money down. There are some beautiful times when our money is both up. And it's a lovely place to be. And then there are times where we just kind of, we coasting. And all of those times are good because we got each other in those moments. And so we check in on the financial front. We check in on the emotional front. Like, after every weekend with the bonus kiddo, we check in with each other like, how you feeling? How was your weekend? How did it go for you? What's your takeaway from it? We like debrief like a football game or something. And in addition to that, we check in with each other on how we feeling in our marriage. Like, hey babe, let's go on a date. We're going on a date. Simple. We not like the people that be tripping on social media. We go to cheap restaurants. Okay, we are those people. We're gonna go to Cracker Barrel. We're gonna go to Cheesecake. We don't really go to Cheesecake Factory like that, but we could. We would go to Cheesecake Factory. We do simple places. We will go somewhere super simple. We go to McAllister's a lot. We like a good sandwich from a deli. And so we will do simple things like that. And it's just an opportunity for us to sit across from each other and have a solid conversation. So that's one of the resolutions, right? Open conversation, like taking the time, being intentional, taking the time to sit down and have that talk. So if the trust issue is in your marriage, if the trust issue is between you and your partner, take that time, call it a date, go somewhere that you can have a conversation. Don't go nowhere that's loud. Don't go nowhere where you're drinking and stuff like that. Go somewhere where you can sit across from each other like two people who are discussing a partnership and work through your problems. Have the conversation. Be open. Tell the truth. Be transparent. Say, hey, I am upset. Hey, I am hurting. Hey, I have a need. You're not meeting it. And allow them to receive that information, or you receive the information, and then y'all come up with a resolution together. Come up with a way to fix it. Come up with a way to make it work. If the problem is through the parent and the child, or step-parent and the child, or child and a parent, get together as a family. said, have that sit down in the living room. Have that sit down in the dining room. Always remind everybody at the table, this is a judgment-free, transparent zone. And talk about the problem. Because the only way you're going to be able to fix it is if you talk about it. Check in on everything. Like I said, this might be a little far-fetched for this podcast, but even check in on the physical front. Check in, like, sexually. Check in emotionally. Because a lot of times, somebody's got a new need, right? Somebody's got a need that they didn't even know they was going to have. And maybe now, like, you're not pleasing your partner sexually, or they not pleasing you sexually. Or maybe, yeah, they pleasing you sexually on a physical front, but, like, emotionally, you need a little bit more so that sex can be even better. Sorry if it was a little too much for y'all. I know I got some good Christian folk on here, but I hope y'all understand that in a healthy marriage, sex has to be good, and it has to be an active proponent of your healthy marriage. So I ain't gonna talk about that too long, but y'all get it. Another thing that was essential to me being able to move forward and trust other people was that I had to build my confidence that I could trust me with making the right decisions. So I had to actually make decisions, and I had to trust that I was doing the right thing, even if it didn't feel good, even if it wasn't like something that was normal for me. Like relocating to Houston, it did not feel good. It did not feel good at all. I took a pay cut. I came out here on faith, legit on faith. I came out here like saying, God is my provider and I will not fail. That was literally what I said, because I came here like, I'm losing how much money? And I came here and I was like, God is my provider. I will not fail. This is not going to be a bad decision. I made some pretty bad decisions in relocations. I've lived in a lot of places. But I told myself I was coming to Houston and I was going to be living on faith that God is going to provide for me and I will not fail. And in addition to that, I've held myself accountable. And I had my parents to hold me accountable as well, because they were like, look, you need to sit down somewhere. You need to stop moving. Like, you haven't had any consistent work history. You keep going places. Now, granted, I've always either worked for the city or the state, so I've always had like the same kind of job. I've always worked in governmental industries, but I have never just sat down anywhere. So what I decided was two things to make me so stay consistent and hold me accountable was, my parents told me I couldn't leave for 5 years. They were like, 5 years is what it takes to get vested in the city. You taking a job with the city, you got to stay for at least 5 years. Y'all, I am so giving glory to God, because I am so thankful, right? I am about to hit my 5 years with the city this year. So praise God for that. And then the other thing that I did was I started my Sister Locks. If you know me and you follow me on any platform, you know I got Sister Locks. That's the only thing I take pictures of is my hair. So I started my Sister Locks when I first got here. And so my Sister Locks will also be 5 years this year. And that was a thing for me, like, be consistent with my hair, be consistent with my stylist, be consistent with taking care of myself. And that kind of rolls me into the self-care, right? So one of the things that I did for myself was I started to love on me more, right? First thing was doing my journaling. I journal every day. I write in my journal, and I applaud myself. I give myself a attagirl, and I tell myself I'm doing a good job. And I'm honest within those moments as well. And I tell myself when I'm doing a bad job, I reprimand myself. I say, hey, you did not do well at this. That was poor of you. That was not, you know, who you are as a person. And I write on these things, and I reflect on these things. But I also remember to have checklists in my book, in my journal. And one of my biggest things is pray and give God the glory and the honor and the praise. And another thing is love on me. And so I find a way to love on me every day, whatever that may mean. Like, I think last Sunday, I just put my feet in a pedicure bath and I just rubbed my feet for like 40 minutes. And I know people be like, that ain't really loving on yourself. But it was. It really was, because I didn't realize how much I missed just taking the time to like literally enjoy my body. You know, it's nice when you have your spouse to do it for you. It's nice when, you know, my nail tech name is Miracle. and she is a miracle for me. So it's nice when Miracle does it for me. It's nice when Alan does it for me. But why can't I love on me a little bit? Why can't I rub on my own feet a little bit? Give myself a little bit more time. I also started getting into like having a regimen. So I have a face regimen and a body regimen now. And that gives me time to like truly indulge in taking care of myself. Another thing I started doing was like I told y'all before, I started going on dates by myself. I still go on dates with my husband. I still go on dates with my friends. Hey, y'all. But I also go on dates with myself. There are some days where I'm like, whew, this was a long day. Let me go ahead and slide through Papacitos and treat myself to a little appetizer and one drink or something like that. And that's a good thing for me because it put some boundaries on it. And it also gave me some time to just reflect by myself. Sometimes I'm just there listening to a good audio book or a podcast or something. And I ain't talking to nobody. I'm just enjoying some time that's exclusively for me. Because once you get in these marriages and these relationships, it's so easy to lose what you had in those independent moments. It's so easy to walk away from those things. And then you wonder why you're so mad. You wonder why you're frustrated. Like, oh, this man taking all my time. These kids taking all my time. It's like, baby, give yourself some time. Give yourself some time. That's really important in our marriage, is that my husband has his time to himself. I have my time to myself. And then we come back and we have some time to enjoy each other. And that's a factor in trust. That's a factor in trust because it allows us to both go our separate ways and be respectful of each other's time. I don't blow him up and bother him while he's in the gym. He don't blow me up and bother me while I'm getting a pedicure or a facial or anything like that. We give each other those exclusive times. But when we're together, we are intentional. We're transparent. We're not making it to where he should be worried or jealous or worrying about what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with, because I'm open with him. I told him who I was going out here with. I told him if it was just going to be me, told him where I was going. My location is always shared. He don't ever check it. He don't really be checking for me like that. He don't check it, but, you know, it's there. Nonetheless, he's very honest with me. He just sent a text. I'm headed home. He tells me, like, hey, I made it to the gym. Hey, I'm about to leave the gym. Hey, this is what I did at the gym. You know what I mean? And it's not because I don't trust him or he got to over-check in or anything like that. It's a level of respect. It's a level of transparency. It's a level of, like, I'm giving you this because you deserve it. I'm giving you this because I don't want you to overthink. Because he know I'm an overthinker. And that anxiety be, like, through the roof. Another restoring action for the family unit can be, as I said, to have those open, honest conversations as a family. Saying what you feel in front of all the members of the family without worrying about being treated differently. And that's for everybody, because children tend to shy away from saying, like, I'm scared, or I don't like this, or I don't understand this. And we as the parents, we as the adults in the children's lives, we should provide them a safe space where they feel confident saying, hey, I'm scared. I'm scared because this is different. Or I feel different because my friends have this kind of setup and I don't have that kind of setup. And we should have a safe space for them to be able to tell us that they're worried, that their life might not be normal, or, you know, whatever they may be worried about. They're worried about us. Maybe they heard us fighting. Maybe they heard us beefing. Maybe they saw us moving different with each other. We should provide those children with a safe space for that. I think I said it on one episode, and I'm going to say it again. My husband's podcast, he talked about having the amnesty talks. One of his guests talked about the amnesty walks, and also my husband does them with his son. He does amnesty talks where he sits down with him and he has conversations so that his son can tell him how he's feeling. Of course, he's 8, so the conversations may not be as productive right now, but it's a part of the process and it's definitely, you know, opened up the doors for the communication. So that's an action. Another thing is being transparent with your intentions and your movements. You know, just like I said before, when it comes to children, if you're going to say it, you better do it. If you say we're going bowling on Sunday, you better be going bowling on Sunday. If you don't know whether you're going to be able to do it, then don't promise it. Don't make promises that you may have to break. always be intentional and be consistent with your actions and your words, and especially with your promises. Like, children depend on that. And then in the vice versa, teach your children consistency. Teach your children accountability. Like, if they are supposed to do something, remind them of that. Remind them of that, because you're the first teacher that your children get. And when they go out into the world, nobody's going to give them a break because they cute. Nobody's going to give them a break because they got a nice smile and they, oh, you look just like your daddy when you do this. Don't nobody care in the world. The rest of the world is going to say, hey, bro, you late. You missed the deadline. You didn't do what you said you was going to do. You're not a team player, or whatever, whatever, whatever. So keep that part in mind. Also, work on activities that, you know, like, or that can grow the bond of the family unit. So game nights, going out as a family, doing family activities, bonding, including your children in your activities so that they can see what your life looks like. You know, like, if you go to the gym, take your kids. You know what I mean? They have spaces for the kids at the gym like that. You know, these kids cool anyway. Give them a little tablet. Let them do their thing. If something you do most, I haven't been to a nail salon that doesn't have a kids area, you know, with the cute little kid pedicure chairs and stuff like that. Take your kids out and take them to do stuff like that. Take them to different restaurants. You don't have to always eat burgers and pizzas and hot dogs. Take them somewhere else and teach them about a new kind of delicacy. Help them to see that, like, life is so much broader than the limited area that they can see or that they know of already. Always remember to reaffirm the boundaries and the consequences. Remembering to reaffirm the boundaries, like reminding the kids, reminding yourself, reminding your partner, reminding your family unit that, like, hey, this is our box. This is our boundary. Hey, no, we don't yell over here. Hey, no, we don't say bad words over here. No, we don't roll our eyes. No, we are always respectful. We say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Whatever your boundary is, reaffirm those boundaries. I remember growing up where if you would come in the house, if you walk in the house, you would speak to everybody in the house, right? And so it's to a point where now, as an adult, I speak to everybody as soon as I walk in, right? No matter where I'm at, I'm speaking to everybody. And I have met grown people who don't know that, or who were never taught that. So I can't say that's the rule for everybody, but that is a boundary for me because it was how I was raised. So when I'm at work and I meet grown people who walk through a door and they see me and I see them and we look at each other and they don't say, hey, Jaleesa, good morning, Jaleesa, good afternoon, Jaleesa, nothing like that. Baby, I don't know you exist. I operate like you literally did not come here. And that's a boundary that I have. And the boundary that I have is you should speak when you come in the room, because I'm going to speak when I come in the room. And the consequence is if you don't speak, now we got beef. And that's not a good thing. But just things like that, you know, if the boundary is that you want, if the boundary is that you want your, you know, your family unit to be open and communicative and everybody be mindful and respectful of each other, when somebody steps outside of that boundary, there has to be a consequence for it. And you have to be firm on those consequences. And that's with everybody, you know. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, can't nobody tell me what to do? You know what I mean? Yes, they can. If you are with somebody and you're in a family unit and you want it to be productive and work well, then you have to, A, follow the rules, follow the boundaries. And if you don't, you have to accept the consequences. Be open to change. Be open to making adjustments to ensure that every member of your family remembers the family dynamics. Remembering, you know, reminding each other, like, hey, I'm holding you accountable, mom. I'm holding you accountable, dad. I'm holding you accountable, kiddo. I'm holding you accountable, Mr. or Mrs. such and such, because it reminds us all to remember that the family unit is the center of this. The family unit is what we're all here for. We're all here trying to protect it. And last but certainly, for me, But certainly not least for me, is to place the family unit in the hands of God and allow God to provide you and your family with discernment over how to move forward. I personally think that this action can be done concurrently with all of the other actions that I spoke about. Knowing that, you know, once you do those things, once you place the family unit in God's hands and you definitely put your energy into doing the work, then I think it'll work out. But one of the things that you have to remember is that it's going to take time and it's going to take a lot of effort and consistency in order to build up this trust, in order to rebuild trust, especially like rebuild trust that's broken or build trust that's new to, you know, new relationships. Because it is, people don't just come in trusting people. So you have to build the trust. But once you rebuild that trust or you establish that trust, it can help to make the family unit or the relationship even stronger than before. So those are my tips, guidance, resources, you know, and that's all I have for today. And as always, I really do pray that you receive something from this episode. And I would love for you to come back and listen to more episodes with me. I thank you for giving me your time, giving me your ears, and just really taking the time to listen to me. And I pray that you can have a trusting family and a trusting situation with whatever, however your family is defined now or however it will be defined in the future. And as always, blending ain't easy, but at least you're doing it. I hope you have a great day, rest of your day, evening, whatever it is, whatever time it is for you. Peace and many, many blessings.